Welcome to the Wolfstead Podcast. I'm your host, Casey Dow. From farm to fiber, this is the podcast where we share the stories of shepherds, shears, fiber artists, and more. So if you love all things sheep and wool, this is the podcast for you. Hey there, welcome to today's episode. Today's interview is with the Prairie Shepherdess, Camden Bartman. Camden is a 16-year-old fiber farmer raising Icelandic and Navajo Churro sheep in Alberta, Canada. And wow, she is on a roll and accomplishing so many things. During the interview, we chat about how she got started shepherding, all about her beautiful flock of Icelandic and Navajo churros, how she balances school and farm life, and of course, we talk about wool and about some of the products that she offers, including her new ebook, The Egg-Tanned Sheepskins at Home Guidebook. And oh my, I just bought a copy of it, and it is so, so good and so informative. I can't wait for you all to hear this interview with Camden. She is truly inspiring.
Thank you so much, Camden, for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
To get started, if you want to share a little bit about yourself and how you got started in the world of shepherding.
Sounds good. So I'm Camden Bartman. I am a 16-year-old fiber farmer and shepherdess raising triple-purpose Icelandic and Navajo Churro sheep outside of Camrose, Alberta. Well, my journey started in the spring of 2020. My parents had purchased a flock of 10 pregnant Navajo Churro ewes. It was kind of the start of our sheep journey. We had raised meat lambs in the past, but this was our first kind of big thing with breeding ewes and having lambs on farm, so it was quite the experience. We got to go through lambing with them all, and we had a really good lambing, like there wasn't any issues or anything. Got into the summer, we did rotational grazing. We got to experience like hoof trimming and vaccinating and kind of all the things that go with sheep. That was our first like big thing with sheep, because of course with meat lambs it's just like you raise them and then you get them butchered, like it's nothing that comes with raising sheep. And then come fall time, my parents had decided that they wanted to kind of take more of a deeper look into the beef and pork side of things, so they decided that they were going to sell the sheep. It wasn't a big thing for them, like we weren't selling a lot of lamb, we weren't selling breeding stock, so it was kind of something that didn't really interest them too much. So I had fallen in love with them a lot, and I was like, there's no way you were going to let me sell these things. So I convinced them to let me keep some of the sheep. They let me keep 5 of the ewe lambs born that year, and then 2 of the mature ewes that were the initial ewes that we got. And then it just kind of grew from there. So I started out with the 7, and then that fall, I purchased a Black Welsh Mountain ram, and he bred all of my mature ewes. The next spring, I got an Icelandic ram. Of course, when you get one Icelandic, I was like, no, I need a ewe. So I got a ewe. Then I got more ewes. And then I was like, no, I need more. So then I got more. And it's just like sprouted from there. Like I just kind of went downhill from there. I'm like, sorry, mom and dad. Like just obsessed with it. Now it's been like 3 years and I've got a flock of about 35, I think I have. I've got 25 breeding ewes, 2 rams, and then a handful of butcher lambs. So it's just kind of sprouted from there.
Wow. Yeah, it's hard to not fall in love with sheep once you get sheep. I'm like, you're either a sheep person or you're not. There's kind of like no in between. So have you always grown up on the farm, or was that something they originally like started getting into and then they added the sheep after?
Yeah, so my parents, they both grew up without farming backgrounds. My dad had aunts and uncles that were farmers, so he spent a lot of time at their farm during the summer, but they both grew up in town. So I grew up in town from the time I was a baby to I think I was in grade 4 when we moved out on the farm. My parents wanted to show us kids where food really is, like how it's grown and where it comes from. So we moved out to the farm in 2017. We started out with 2 pigs and 25 chickens, and then they've just kind of grown from there. So just like I recently really started taking an interest in farming when we got the sheep. So it's really only been like 3 years that I've really been really into the farming side of things.
And what originally drew your parents to getting the, you said originally it was the Navajo Churro?
Yeah.
Was there a specific reason they went that route?
They wanted something that would be good for meat, but also for like our Alberta climate, because it does get pretty cold. And one thing that's really good that I really love about the churros is that they're super, super hearty. Like they definitely are really good for this type of weather. We have three-sided shelters for them and we fill them full of straw, but you'll look out and it'll be like minus 40 outside and they won't even be in their sheds. They'll be like laying in the snow. There's snow all over them. They just are like totally content.
Just hanging out in it.
Yeah.
What does the temperature get down to?
I think the coldest it gets is between like minus 40 to minus 45, but wind chills can get up to like minus 50. So it gets pretty cold here.
Wow, yeah, that is really cold. Yeah,
Very cold.
definitely we don't get that cold here where I live. So in the Icelandics, they tend to be pretty hardy as well.
Yeah, the Icelandics are very similar to the churros, which is something that definitely drew me towards them. They're very hearty, similar to the churros.
And do you have a favorite use for their wool? I mean, I'm sure you can do lots of different things with it. Can you kind of share all the different uses that you use them for?
Yeah, so my main thing that I do with the wool is I sell it to lots of like fiber artists. I sell it through like my Instagram and my social medias. So I find a lot of fiber artists and spinners through there. So I do sell most of it, but then I do keep quite a bit of it and I will turn it into dryer balls that I can then sell to people who are looking for getting into more natural things for their home that are free of like chemicals and stuff like that. But to add on to the dryer balls, I also have been getting into making living rugs, so felted fleece rugs, where you can take the raw fleece and felt it into rugs, similar to like a sheepskin, but then you don't have to butcher the animal to get the rug.
So I think I was reading on your website. So you raise them for the wool and the meat and dairy. Do you do much with
Yeah.
the dairy side of things?
I'm not like, I don't do a crazy ton with them just because it does take a lot of work to milk your sheep. It's a lot of time and yeah, it just can be a little bit hard. So I only milk like one or two every year and I only do it for a few weeks, like right after they wean their lambs. I will kind of milk them until they start getting pretty dry. And then with that milk, I will freeze it. And then during the course of the winter months, I turn it all into soap.
And do you do just the soap bars, or do you add wool, like felted wool, and make felt soap with it too?
Yeah, so I do sell just the sheep milk soap bars, but I've also played around a little bit with felting and turning them into felted sheep milk soap, which is something that is really cool. I really enjoy it. It's kind of like gives almost the effect of like almost like a shower loofah when you put it onto your hands because it gets very like soapy. So it's really good if you were going to be using it kind of in your shower, or it's really good too because it like your soap bars, they usually fall apart and get really clumpy. But when you add on the wool on the outside of your bar, it tends to like kind of hold it together a little bit more and it's not so messy.
I'm jumping in here real quick to ask if you could pause today's episode and leave a quick rating and review on your favorite podcast platform, or share today's episode with a friend, or even if you're watching on YouTube, if you could leave a quick comment. Those are really helpful ways in getting the podcast out to other like-minded people. Thank you so much. Now back to the episode.
So, can you share about the Icelandic and Navajo churros wool?
Yeah, so with the Icelandics and the churros, they have like two layers to their fleeces. So they have the tog and the thell. So the Icelandics, they, depending on their genetic background, some will shed their wool in the springtime and some don't. But the churros, you have to shear them and they don't shed their fleeces. But they have the two layers to their coat, which is really good because it helps in both heat and cold. In the heat, it helps keep them cool. And then in the cold, it helps keep them warm. So Navajo churro fleece is a little bit, it's more like coarse and kind of rougher, itchier comparatively to the Icelandics. Icelandic is very soft and is much better if you are going to be processing it into a sort of like knitting yarn. It's definitely something that's more of like a yarn to touch your skin, whereas Navajo churro is definitely better for if you were making rugs or horse blankets or dryer balls, just because it is pretty coarse and itchier. It's not a very soft type of fleece, but they are very similar in the course of the staple lengths that you get from them and the weights that you get of fleeces. I shear twice a year, and the fleeces come into about 5 or 6 pounds at 6 months of growth, and the locks average about 6 to 8 inches.
You're processing the wool. Do you tend to separate those, the outer fleece versus the inner fleece, or is it just depending on what you're trying to create with it?
I think it's really dependent on what you're planning to do with the fleece. I know a lot of people who will separate it, and it definitely does make like it changes your spinning if you were to separate it and just spin the tog, or you were just going to spin the thel. But I have kept it all together and it's worked out pretty good. I've never really played around with that, but it's something that is on my kind of next things to do is to see what difference it kind of makes to separate them.
Okay, so usually, depending on your lamb crop every year, do you have a pretty good amount that you process and sell the meat?
Yeah, so each year I aim to keep between 4 to 6 lambs for the butcher. I sell them all as half or whole lambs, and I get back their hides as well as their skulls. So, kind of my way of honoring their lives and keeping a piece of them that you can kind of keep forever. So, I don't have a huge customer base for lambs, so it's kind of just like what people want, then I'll get them butchered. Because meat's not a huge thing for me. It's not like a crazy amount that I get done.
But I mean, that's great that you want to keep back the skulls and the hides and, use as much as you possibly can for that animal. So, do you go ahead and process the skulls and sell them as well as the hides?
Yeah, so I did my first skull this summer, and I did it in the way like I put it in a compost pile. It had some pig manure and sheep manure and just like the worms and the bugs and everything, and they did a really good job of cleaning it up. I just really needed to go and kind of cut off some sort of like a little bit of flesh on it, but otherwise they did really good. I just need to get like boil it a little bit to like remove all of the meat, but otherwise they did a really good job of that. I still have a bunch in the freezer, so I'm waiting until next spring when it gets a little bit warmer, and then I'll get to work on those ones.
And then with the hides, would you like to talk about that in your new ebook that you just released on the process of that?
Yeah, so I tan my hides traditionally. So traditionally is used by the use of egg yolk or brains, and then you use smokes to set the tan. So I kind of dug more deeper into tanning hides when our first batch of Navajo Chur lambs went to the butcher. We had butchered 5 of them, and we kind of realized that we wanted to find a way to honor their lives, and sheepskins was something that we definitely took an interest in. So we sent off 3 to the tannery, and I decided I wanted to keep 2 to kind of learn how to tan myself. So I purchased a guidebook and some tanning supplies, and I set it on the adventure to learn. It's definitely full of a lot of failures and challenges along the way, but it's definitely what made it possible for me to grow and to be where I am today. It's now been, well, it'll be 2 years next year, and I've tanned lots of hides for my lambs. I've done some custom orders, and that's also gotten me to the point where I have made a guidebook on tanning. It's a guidebook on egg tanning at home on sheepskins. It also can work on smaller hides like deer, goats, and rabbits. So I shared it on my social media today, and it is a 23-page long book, and it's got about 43 colored pictures, I believe. And it shares the process from trimming your hide all the way to brushing out your hide to be finished. So I'm very excited for that. It's been a few months of preparing and planning for it. So I'm very excited that it's something that I'm going to be able to offer, and I can't wait to see all the beautiful hides that people make.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I'm sure that took a lot of time and energy. Recording that whole step-by-step process alone is just very time-consuming. So, and
Yeah.
I'm super excited to check it out because that, again, has been on my wish list because I think, just as farmers or fiber artists or anything, we always have that next step we want to, go towards. And so definitely tanning hides, the natural way has been on my list. So I'm excited to definitely check that out. And I will link it in the show notes as well. But goodness, you're 16. You've already accomplished so much. And I want to know, how do you manage both school and farming?
Yeah, so it was definitely a tricky one in the beginning. I was homeschooled from kind of like when COVID started. And then I went back to school last year for grade 10. I wanted just to make sure that I would have all my credits to graduate, and then two for when I go to post-secondary to make sure that I can get into all those schools. And it's definitely been something that was tricky in the beginning to manage it, because it was like long days at school. You'd come home, there'd be homework you need to do, and then animals you need to feed. So lots of nights I wouldn't be finished stuff, and I'd come in the house and it'd be like 10 o'clock by the time that I can like go to bed. But I'm definitely getting used to it. It's getting in routine, but I'm very grateful for my parents. Like my dad, he is able to, if I need help or anything, he's been very good with that. He's able to help me out with my chores in the morning. So if I need to get out of the house a little bit early, or if I'm running behind on stuff, then he's able to go and do my chores. So it's been something that's really good, is they've been a lot of help, and I'm very appreciative of them being able to help me like that.
That's wonderful. It's such a family effort. Even like we're doing our farming stuff, even my children help me. And so I think that parent-child relationship can be so beautiful on the farm. And it really helps you to work together as a team and build those bonds even stronger.
Really do. Like when it comes to like hoof trimming or vaccinating or anything, like I can't vaccinate them myself, so if I need help, they're always there to come and help me. So it's very nice.
Yeah, that's so great. So, do you have plans for the future of any certain subject, like career avenue you want to go into along with the farming side of things?
Yeah, so I'm still kind of deciding exactly what I want to do, but I'm really gearing it towards something in agriculture. There's a few colleges around us that offer some of those agriculture type things. So I'm very interested into going into something with livestock nutrition. There's sadly not a lot of stuff that is with sheep around me, but there is lots of livestock nutrition where I can take something like that. But there's also livestock health stuff. So I haven't really decided quite yet, but it's something in agriculture that I will go, but I just need to figure out exactly what I want to do, but haven't decided yet.
Right, you still have plenty of time. I remember being that age and being like, "Oh goodness, what am I gonna do?" But it'll all work out the way it's supposed to. So, what is one of your favorite things about raising sheep? And then, if you have one piece of advice that you would give a new shepherd, what would it be?
So I'd have to say that my favorite part of shepherding is definitely when you get to watch a sheep that you've raised from birth become a mom. I've got to say it's one of the best feelings to see. Just to see like all the work you've put in, and you've watched that animal grow up, and now they're at the age that they're old enough to be a mom, and watching them raise the lamb is definitely one of the greatest things, especially bottle babies when you've raised them since babies and then they just like, it's like, oh, my baby's all grown up, and then they're already like such good moms and they're doing it all themselves. It's definitely what something that's really beautiful to watch. I would have to say a piece of advice that I would give to a new shepherd is start small. I know a lot of people, they think that we're gonna jump in big, and then like I know a lot of people do that, and I would just have to say, like, start small, get four sheep, get like two ewes, a ram, and a wether. And just go from there. Figure out how you like sheep, kind of what your managing skills are, and figure out really everything, sheep health, flock management, everything in between, and then go from there.
Oh, that's such great advice. Yes, I agree. Starting small, because the beauty of sheep too is, they usually have a couple of lambs, and so your flock will grow pretty quickly. Have you seen that relationship with your ewes as they become moms and then their babies become moms? Because somebody recently told me that even the grandmothers kind of watch over the granddaughters. Have you seen that yourself?
I have noticed it a little bit. So I have Rosie. She is one of my Navajo Tribe ewes. She's one of the ewes that was born in 2020. So she had twins in 2022, and I had kept one of her babies. Her daughter is Rue. And Rue had a daughter this year, and I kept her as well. I noticed that Rue and Rosie definitely have a strong connection. Like you'll look out, and they'll definitely be usually pretty close to each other, which is pretty funny because Rosie had sort of rejected Rue when she was a baby, but they still kind of have a bond, which is really, really cool to see that. But if you notice as well, you can see that Rosie hangs a lot out with Raven too. So it's kind of like the three of them that hang out together. So it's pretty neat to see Rosie kind of like You'll see, and she'll be eating with both of the girls, or she'll be laying beside both of the girls. So it's pretty neat to see kind of the bond that they form even when they are like a few generations apart.
That's super sweet. Do you have a favorite sheep?
Yeah, I do. I wouldn't like to say that to all the others, but I definitely
Right.
do have a favorite. I would have to say Rue's my favorite. She's very affectionate and she loves people. Like, she's not afraid of new people either. Like, I have a lot of sheep who are, they're very, like, they're a little bit unsure of new people, but you'll come out there and Rue will be right at the gate. Somebody she's never met before, and she's just, her tail's wagging and she's just loving it. So she's got quite a funny, sassy personality, and I'd say she has to be my favorite.
Oh, that's so cute. So Navajo Churro and the Icelandic, they all come in like a wide range of colors, right?
Yep.
Are you breeding for specific colors or are you doing for specific traits? What is your goal in that?
Well, I would say my favorite color is Morit. So Morit are brown Icelandic sheep. They are definitely my favorite. Like, if I could have a whole flock of Morit sheep, I would definitely have it. They're just my favorite. I love the fiber products that you get from them. It's just such a cool color. You can get dark browns and you get kind of light browns, and there's just many different shades that you can get within the Morits. And at this point, just kind of where I'm gearing towards is just I'm getting more into the registered Icelandic stock. So my hope is a few years down the road, I'll be able to get into AIing some of my sheep. So importing semen from Iceland and just bringing in some better genetics and improving my stock.
Awesome. That's a great goal to have, just to keep growing and improving those genetics.
Yep.
So, I have a fun thing that I'm starting on the podcast this season, and it's like a rapid fire question round. Would you like to participate in it?
Yes.
Okay. So, I just have a few questions. So, would you choose winter on the farm or spring on the farm?
I would definitely say spring.
Lambing
Yeah.
time or shearing time?
Oh, I'd say lambing.
Reading or listening to a book? So, reading a book or audiobook?
I'd say audiobook.
Okay. What would be your choice of meat be between leg of lamb or ground lamb?
Ground lamb.
And then mucking out the barn or homework?
Mucking out the barn.
It was so funny. I was telling my daughter the questions before we got started, and she loves horses. And I said, what would you choose? And she was like, mucking out the barn, of course, Mom. Well, I can't thank you enough for joining me today. Would you like to share with the listeners where all they can find you? So social media, website, YouTube, all of the things.
Yeah, so my social media is I've got Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. You can find me there at Prairie Shepherdess. And my website is prairieshepherdess.ca.
Perfect. And they have to go check out all of your stuff. You're 16 and you're such a wealth of knowledge, and you have just so much content and information that's so good that I've seen on your Instagram. And I'm excited that you're getting this YouTube channel started because I think you're going to be such a good representation for all the younger shepherds out there. So it's also good. And I'll link everything in the show notes below. And thank you again, Camden, for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. To check out more episodes and sheep content, you can head over to thewoolstead.com. Until next time.